Passion and desire can attract everything you want in life. Passion by Design is a show about designing a life of passion. I'm Paula McChesney.
And I'm Sandy Peckinpah, and we're the authors of a concept and a book called Passion by Design. Redecorate your bedroom and reinvent your love life.
And we'll be discussing your home and your relationships, your body, your spirit, and anything else that you want to talk about.
And we are here with you live every Wednesday afternoon at 2:05 to discuss living life fully through the senses here on AM 1240 KNRY.
So be sure to call in and join us. Our call-in number is 831-373-1234. Welcome to the show.
Hello, Paula.
Well, hi, Sandy. How are you?
Oh, I had the most wonderful Valentine's Day.
Yes, I think you did. Tell us about it.
Yes, I did. Well, my sweetheart flew in to surprise me. He lives in another state, as you know.
Uh-huh.
And he flew in and surprised me to spend Valentine's Day with me. And he told me about it not too many days before, maybe 1 or 2 days before. So I fixed this fabulous meal. And I am so excited. It turned out perfectly. And it was one of those, I had to be picking him up from the airport at the time that it would have needed to have been prepared. So I chose a menu that could be prepared the day before and actually is enhanced by preparing. So do you want to hear what I made?
I do want to hear what you made.
Okay. I made wonderful beef shanks, slowly braised in a red wine sauce that then became a reduction sauce.
Mm.
And then, and some of the shanks had the marrow still in the bone. And then I also made heart-shaped gnocchi with semolina flour and put them, I cut them out with a cookie cutter and I put them in a dish, in a pan, and then drizzled them with a browned butter and fresh grated Parmesan. And then I made the most delicious salad. It was just so simple, but I took a cooking class once from a wonderful Italian chef, Giuseppe, and we sliced orange sections and fennel, and then layered them on a bed of arugula, which I would like to add, arugula is supposed to be one of those aphrodisiacs.
Yes, indeed, which we're going to be talking about today.
Yes, and then we drizzled it with olive oil and red wine and a little gorgonzola, and it was absolutely divine.
Ooh, yum, that sounds delicious. And as our listeners can tell, we're talking food today.
Yes, we are, and because food is wonderful, isn't it?
Oh, it's one of the sensual delights. And because we're very close to Valentine's Day, it was just a few days ago, we thought this would be an interesting topic to keep the love flowing.
Mm-hmm.
And so we decided that we would actually talk about aphrodisiacs. And I got a little tweak from one of my friends, Michael Jones, who's the chef at the General Store in Kashawa. Michael, I hope you're listening. I actually spelled it wrong. I thought it was spelled aphrodisiac. It's aphrodisiac with an I after Aphrodite, the Greek goddess of love and sexuality.
Oh.
So I stand corrected, and I thank you for that. So.
Oh, that's interesting. I had no idea.
Well, you know, the things we learn. But, you know, we, with our book, Passion by Design, Redecorate Your Bedroom and Reinvent Your Love Life, we talk about all kinds of food and sensual things. We talk about being healthy, and some of the things we're going to talk about today with our guests will be about food and how you enhance your life in general and also your love life.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I think food is one of those things that people, because of our situation in America where so many people tend to be overweight, there's sort of a love-hate relationship
mm-hmm.
with food.
Definitely.
And I think that's so damaging because I think that food can release the best in you when it's used appropriately,
mm-hmm.
shall we say.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you and I have a relationship with food that I love because we acknowledge that there are some things that really make us happy, but we have them at appropriate times and in appropriate amounts. And I think if we just slow down a little bit and really enjoy what we're eating instead of grabbing something fast food on the way. For instance, what do we grab on the way back from the airport when you pick me up, Paula?
Well, we grab chocolate.
Yes.
We have to grab our chocolate because, you know, you can't ever be without chocolate. Not that my house ever is, but that's one of the musts that we do incorporate.
Well, and chocolate is not only known for being romantic, but it also has a stimulating effect, like coffee. And so it helps with the serotonin production, I'm told.
Absolutely. Well, Sandy, that just leads me right into my two wonderful guests today, because they're sitting here nodding and So I'm going to let them jump in on the conversation. We are really honored today. We have the executive chef, Justin Coughlin, from L'Auberge Carmel, and Ron Mendoza, executive pastry chef, also from L'Auberge Carmel. So we feel very honored and welcome, gentlemen, to the show.
Yes, welcome.
Thank you.
Yeah. So, Justin, let me start with you. You've just been through Valentine's Day, and you've probably done a tremendous amount of great cooking there at Restaurant Aubergine. What were some of the specialties that you prepared for this Valentine's Day?
It was Ron's idea. I just joined
we'll give
the team.
We'll give the credit to Ron. Okay,
absolutely.
Ron.
You know, yeah. I just joined the team about a month ago, and we thought it'd be really fun. We had a couple conversations before I was able to come out here about doing a Valentine's Day, and we wanted to do something where we really put some interesting thought and, you know, interesting ingredients instead of just doing the normal Valentine's Day, come with your sweetheart, here's a rose.
Right, exactly. I'm so glad. I would, of course, expect that of you guys, because you do such a great job there. It's such an elegant experience to go to Aubergine, your restaurant. It's just delightful. So what did you put on the menu?
So basically we fought over some different ingredients on the aphrodisiac.
Fighting's good, yes.
Yes. So, you know, we basically picked each one. Say I would pick banana, chocolate, and he picked, you know, a couple different ones. And then we had, you know, a couple days to come up with some menu items featuring those aphrodisiac ingredients as the main component of each dish.
Oh, interesting.
So we didn't really list it through the weekend as that would be the dish. So if someone ordered chocolate, they'd think it'd be dessert, but we made a squab course, which is a game bird with a rich chocolate sauce and some crispy skin. And
Oh, you're making me happy already. Oh, now, Ron, was that your idea or Justin, was that yours?
That's Bob. The squab sauce, that's Justin's.
Oh, okay.
He takes my chocolate.
Okay, well, sounds like he did a great job
with
it.
We love to fight over different ingredients, sweet and savory. So, you know, it's always been, wherever I've worked, that's been the competition between the chef and the pastry chef to see, you know, there's great mandarins come in there. I mean, they're great, you know, Satsuma mandarins are great for pastry, but they're also great for savory applications. You know, fennel is great for savory, but, you know, he might steal it and make a fennel sorbet. You know, that's an aphrodisiac ingredient.
Well, Sandy, let's talk about fennel for a minute, because we talked about this on the show, I think, last week or the week before. And tell our listening audience again what you had mentioned on that. It was quite interesting.
That fennel helps is sort of blood purifying, and so it has enhancing qualities, and arugula also. And also spinach and kale, which are considered aphrodisiacs also. And fennel is one of my favorite ingredients, and I think it's far underused in our restaurants today because, oh my gosh, I just love it. I love it every way I can get it.
It's really, really good. And also you had talked about celery and what was the
celery
other? Pineapple.
Celery and pineapple.
This
celery
is interesting.
Celery and pineapple actually change your taste, so your skin, everything tastes better.
So your kisses taste cleaner,
yes,
fresher.
Yes.
Nice.
Uh-huh. Nice, Justin says.
Because it changes the chemistry. And so, you know, it enhances that experience for the one that is kissing you.
Well, it gives a very clean, fresh taste. And I know I just had a wonderful, sometimes pineapples are just, amazingly delicious. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they're kind of flat. And I don't know, you know, I do the little thing where you pull out the center top leaf to see, is that right, Ron, to see if it's ripe and so forth. And sometimes you get one that's just amazing. And I had one that was just incredible. It's almost like it fermented a little bit and brought out a bit of a coconut, a tropical feeling, a flavor. Does that make sense?
Yeah, definitely. And I think that's why, well, one of the dishes that I had for the Valentine's Day menu was pineapple.
Oh, perfect.
That was also served with avocado, which is also considered an aphrodisiac.
Ooh.
So I made an avocado sorbet, which is just, you know, avocado is a fruit.
That's right.
It just doesn't have a lot of sugar into it. So, but I think the creaminess of the avocado matched very well with the pineapple. And like you said, it brings together that sort of tropicalness.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
So it's basically pineapple and avocado and lime. And so to heighten the experience more, I made a tapioca. So it has all those little, you know,
what do you call those little things?
Yeah, those bouncy pearls, you know, fill your mouth and you get the pineapple, the sweetness and the little bit of acidity from the pineapple and the creaminess of the avocado. So it's a lot of different texture and flavor within just a few bites. So to me, it's very sensual.
It is. It sounds like the flavors just explode in your
definitely.
Mouth and just really give you all kinds of mouth feel all the way from the beginning to the end. Ooh,
yeah,
how delicious.
That's the idea. So we tried taking ingredients that historically are known as aphrodisiacs that create certain sensations, and then even go a step further with how it actually is put together on the dish, how you eat it, and how it affects you physically and emotionally.
Right.
And I think that was one of the key things that we tried doing with the menu. And it's something that we do constantly anyways.
Mm-hmm.
But
mm-hmm.
I think with this Valentine's Day, what we wanted to do instead of normally a chef will just come up with anything that they want to randomly.
Right.
But it took us a little bit more thinking to try and, you know, figure out why are we doing these dishes.
Well, it sounds like the two of you are a great team, a great collaboration, because it sounds to me like you put forth ideas and you bounce them around and you say, what's going to be the best of this? Does that sound right to you?
Yeah, absolutely. And I didn't even listen to Ron. I stole some of his cilantro, too, because, you know, that was one of his ingredients.
Well, stealing is good unless he's planning on using it for something.
I use plenty of his stuff, too. So.
Oh, okay.
Well, you mentioned tapioca, which I think is one of those great dessert treats that it's like caviar. The feel of it in your mouth
is
so sensual.
It is.
Definitely.
I mean, in and of itself, I don't find that tapioca has much flavor.
No.
But once you start doing things to it, and I actually had a delightful, this is making me hungry here, day out at Bernardus on Saturday with Jane Hendler and her husband Rex, who own Ajna Organic and Natural Perfumery. Mm-hmm. And we were doing a day of sensuality with fragrance and food and so forth. And Chef Ben out there made a tapioca with a passion fruit puree. Oh, my goodness. That was just delicious.
Yeah. Oh, I love passion fruit.
Yeah, Ben's a friend of mine. He does really good stuff. Yeah.
Oh, he had a vat of chocolate that I just wanted to backstroke across. It smelled so divine.
Yeah.
He was making truffles.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were doing a pairing of not really a pairing, but teaching people about the components of food and the components of fragrance. And it was really a lovely day at Bernardus. And so, you know, shout out to the folks out there at Bernardus. That was a great day. We'd like to do more of those.
Ron, I'm curious, how do you approach coming up with a new dessert?
I think first and foremost, it starts with the ingredients.
Mm-hmm.
We go to the farmer's market, whatever's in season. Right now, there's a lot of citrus. There's apples. And then, of course, in the wintertime, you have tropical fruits. So there's mangoes and pineapples and banana. So it always starts from there. And then it veers two different ways. One of them is obviously the flavors, the flavor components that I want to do, which is something that I guess that's more of a taste memory that you would say is you start having a building block of flavors that match each other, that pair well. And so, for instance, we're talking about pineapple. Coconut, lime, those things just tend to go well. So you can go with those flavors. And then after that, then I start thinking about different techniques and how it can be presented. And usually try and do new techniques so it's presented in a way that's more of a surprise, I guess. That's the thing, the benefit that I have with pastry is because you're making everything up, you know, instead of just putting a piece of pineapple on a plate, I make something with it. So I really have to think about the technique and how it's going to come across, how you eat it, as opposed to, you know, just putting the raw ingredient on a plate. So I think it always starts off with the ingredient, and then I think about the flavor profiles and which way do I want it to go. Is it more earthy, you know, with coffee or chocolate, or do I want it more citrusy and tropical? Then I could do the coconut, lime, things like that. And then start thinking about technique and how I want people to experience it, the physical part when they're actually eating it, and, you know, how they kind of mix it around on the plate or, you know, pick it up, and how it sort of dissolves in your mouth with a crunchy and something creamy and tapioca that has little textures.
That's really fun. I mean, it's so creative. And you talk about memory. Tell our listening audience a little bit about your background and where you've come from.
Well, oddly enough, I didn't have much cooking from my parents, you know, whereas a lot of people had great memories. My grandparents I had more of, I think, but my parents weren't very good cooks. But in doing that, I had to learn to cook for myself. So ever since I was 11, 12 years old, I was cooking for myself. And this is, albeit very poorly, but I've always cooked.
But you survived and you look healthy.
Exactly, I survived
and I
cooked, so it wasn't anything unfamiliar. So it wasn't until I was sort of late into it, I was about 24, 25, that I started thinking about it as a career. Because I was already working. I'd graduated from high school, of course, and not sure what I wanted to do into college. And I thought, okay, you know, I like to cook. I like to eat. And it could actually be a lucrative profession in a way. So I went to culinary school and did that. And
now, where did you go?
And I was in Los Angeles.
Okay.
In Pasadena, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Quite
and
famous.
So I went to the culinary school there. But the thing was, is I was a little bit older than most of the other students. They were out of high school, I think. And so I knew I wanted to work in some of the best restaurants in the country.
Very smart.
And so early on, yes, I worked in the best restaurant in what I considered in Los Angeles, which is called Patina. I worked there, and then I moved to, after working in L.A. for 6 years, I moved to the French Laundry in Napa, which is considered one of the best in the country.
That, I have to say, I'm very impressed by that. You have to just share a little bit about, you didn't just wake up one morning and say, I think I'll go work at the French Laundry today for Thomas Keller.
Well, no, not
You
quite.
Have to give us a little bit of background on that one.
It was close to it, though. I actually just sent, I was sending out resumes to different places, and I sent one to the French Laundry just to get a cook's position. But they were looking for a pastry sous chef, which is the person under the
right.
chef. So I went up there, and I actually had to cook for them. I had to cook. I had to do three dessert courses, and then a bunch of little, like, chocolates and treats afterwards.
Yes.
So it was for Thomas Keller and the chef at the time, the chef de cuisine, Corey Lee, and the pastry chef. So I was up there for 2 days and prepping in the kitchen where everyone is doing their service and things like that. It was pretty nerve-wracking knowing that I was cooking personally for Thomas Keller to
get
a job.
That makes me nervous just listening to
yes.
it.
And then afterwards, each one sat down. We were in the backyard, actually in Thomas Keller's backyard. He has like a bench, like a wooden bench. They're just going over the food and interviewing me. So it was quite nerve-wracking. But then after a week went by and they called me back and they offered me the position.
Oh,
so I moved up there.
Goodness.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's huge.
Yeah,
it was
a great experience.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Well, Justin, you've had quite an amazing career. Is it true that you actually started out as a figure skater?
Yes, that's correct. I was very fortunate to, you know, my parents put me in that program instead of hockey, and stuck with it and ended up traveling a great deal, almost 4 years overseas. So that really helped with my love of culinary arts and the whole world of hospitality. And then I.
So you must have been very young when you were doing that.
I mean, yeah, 12. I think I started.
That's pretty young. Well, Sandy and I traveled with a singing group from the time that we were 15 till we were 17.
Wow,
so we had an amazing, and I so related when I read that. You know, you do pick up a love of different cultures and different foods and different peoples. I fell in love. And I will always remember this smell, that first Italian cappuccino.
Yeah.
When I smell one that has that smell, and I don't remember what brand it was because I was 15 years old, but there's something, that sense memory that just comes back and takes me back to that first time in, Sandy, where were we, Rome or?
Milan.
In Milan.
Yeah.
And that and just, oh,
that,
just
that was
magical.
What changed my feeling about food forever, because up to that point, I was the daughter of a Navy man, and we got all our foods from the commissary, and everything was either frozen or canned. Ooh. And in Italy was really the first time that I experienced really incredible fresh foods right from the farmers. And it changed my feeling about food forever, and I knew from that point forward that I had to learn to cook like that.
Well, and Sandy, you've become an amazing cook. You just are phenomenal. And we have actually on our website, which is passionbydesign.com, we have put recipes up there that we do change out frequently, and we also have photographs of them in our belief that part of the attraction is the sensual pleasure of the beautiful plate mm-hmm. and seeing the colors and so mm-hmm. forth mix there artfully. So when you plate a dish, Justin, what are you looking for? What style do you have when you're plating?
Well, you know, most of my style, you know, I've adapted from my mentor, which was Charlie Trotter. I worked there for, you know, 5 years and was his chef for the last two.
Very impressive.
You know, he's an unbelievable mentor, and, you know, you learned humility, you learned everything from him. So, you know, try to adapt some of that and bring it to California, which is very exciting for myself and Ron. And, you know, we're getting some great feedback, and we really want to challenge, you know, and bring a lot more guests into our great property. We're doing some really fun stuff, and this is what it's all about. So that's what we try to do every night.
It sounds like we need to have a Passion by Design evening at L'Auberge Carmel.
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we blow you away. You know what'll happen.
Oh, that just sounds great. You guys just do such an amazing job. I love the way you're thinking, and you know what you're talking about. So we're now in mid February. So what's in the marketplace now? What are you working with?
Well, like Ron said, it's mainly citrus right now. We're starting, you know, we've had some nice weather, so there mm-hmm. was some signs of spring, you know, like stinging nettles showed up one
yes.
week from one of the local
tell players. Us about stinging nettles. I had an experience with Chef Brandon Miller when he was over at Stokes.
Yeah.
And this was several years ago. But there was, I believe, a pork dish, and it said was stinging nettles. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that sounds revolting. And I ordered it.
Did you really, Paula? That
oh,
was ambitious.
Well, you know me, Sandy. It was one of the most amazing, memorable dishes. And Chef Brandon, if you're listening, we're going to have to get you to recreate that for me and my husband someday over at Mundaka, because it was delicious. So tell us about stinging nettles, Justin. I don't quite get it.
Sure. I mean, you know, everything that is wild foraged has a different unique qualities. So they're great as a puree. You can saute them. I mean,
what do they look like when you get them in your kitchen?
They basically, you know, the foragers will bring them in a bag, you know, maybe 2-3 pounds. So it's just, they look like green leaves.
So when you say foragers, are these people who are out foraging?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, which is great about, you know, Restaurant Aubergine is that we've had, you know, per week there's about 3 to 4, you know, even as much as 6 foragers come to the back door with, you know, local mushrooms, you know, fishermen that just show, you know, all kinds of interesting, great product. So that's why we, with our new menu format, we can add those, like, you know, simple ingredients like 4 spiny lobsters. We can do it on a spontaneous tasting menu. They will only last for that. It's something that's so great.
Of course.
And then that's how we're really pleasing everyone right now. So.
Oh, that's amazing. Mm. So, you know, mushrooms. I love mushrooms. And one time my husband and I were in Scotland. We were in London. And the chef actually came out with this beautiful big basket, like an armload basket. So it was just entrancing visually. And these mushrooms had just been brought in from Scotland. Mm-hmm. And he said, choose which mushrooms you like and I'll make a dish around those. Oh, I was in heaven. That was just so earthy and connected to the earth. It was just so almost primal. Again, one of those memorable meals.
Well, you know, mushrooms, I was looking up on the internet the other day about mushrooms for this show, and it was one of those things that it inhibits estrogen production. So the enzymes promote testosterone conversion. And mushrooms are low in calories. They're like 90% water. They're high in fiber. And pharaohs kept mushrooms for themselves because they were thought to provide strength and were too good for the commoners.
Oh, interesting. Interesting. See, you can have the pharaoh's dish of mushrooms here.
Yeah.
Do some creative naming here as well.
Yeah. Justin, what are your three favorite foods to cook with that you use frequently?
I mean, I like, you know, first and foremost, seafood is my favorite. Especially here, you know, Dungeness crab, we get live crabs three times a week. You know, they're just beautiful. We have to chase them around the kitchen. You know, they're unbelievable.
I wouldn't like that part.
Especially coming from Chicago, where, you know, we'd have to have everything FedExed in and, you know, it could add a couple of days. Here, the stuff, you know, it's so fresh. Like the abalone we get is unbelievable. We call, you know, Monterey Bay, they're here within 20 minutes. They're just out of the water. We treat them, you know, we steamed some yesterday just with a little bit of sake. And a little bit of kombu, and I mean the clean flavor that comes out of that is just unbelievable. So
now, what is kombu?
It's a seaweed from Japan that's harvested usually in the spring from Sapporo. You know, they have special little ships that go out and they bring it all up, dried on rocks for 2 days, and they have a special like the unami taste. So you really want to get, you know, your fifth sense going. So
Describe that unami taste, because that's something that a lot of people might not know what you mean when you say that.
Sure. You know, you have your sweet, sour, bitter. This it's just another level of taste. Like, you know, they say truffles too. You know, there's certain foods that have that different quality that brings out, you know, something that you haven't really had before, but you're like, wow, I don't know what that is. It's amazing. You know, it just like food just brings those senses alive. So that's what, you know, that's what my job is. That's what Ron's job is. You know, so that's what we look for every day. We try to tweak something to make it more of an experience, more memorable. So.
Well, you talk about truffles, too, and I want to come back to your other favorite ingredients. But talking about truffles, are they still in season now, or are they pretty much finished?
We actually got a half pound of Perigord today from France.
Guys are making me so hungry. I'm sorry. I'm just sitting here salivating. You should have brought me some food, but I know where to find you.
Yeah.
So you got some in today?
Yeah. So we'll have them on the menu tonight for the tasting menu. They're, you know, they're medium size of golf balls, perfect round shape. They're the best.
Golf balls?
Yeah. That's the size you want to look for. I mean, not too many in, you know, interested in gross, but like the round sizes have the best flavor, and you know, as long as they're firm, clean.
I didn't know they were that big. Well, we're gonna have to take a quick break here. And this is Passion by Design on AM 1240. And I want to remind our listeners that when you go to our website and you mention that you heard us on KNRY, we will enter you into a drawing to win a free autographed copy of our book, which is Passion by Design. Redecorate your bedroom and reinvent your love life. So we'll be right back.
I've been this way since 1956. She looked at my palm and she made a magic sign. She said, what you need is love potion number 9.
Do you want to get into the best shape of your life? My name is Ellen Bradley Gannis, and I've actually helped thousands of people not only transform their body, but improve their health and the way they feel every day. Fad diets are unsafe and they don't work. If you're really ready for a change, visit me now at www.passioncleanse.com. Free personal coaching and money back guaranteed.
Welcome back to Passion by Design. I'm here, Paula McChesney, with Sandy Peckinpah.
Hello.
And Justin Cogley and Ron Mendoza from L'Auberge de Carmel. L'Auberge Carmel.
L'Auberge Carmel.
L'Auberge Carmel. Thank you. And we are talking about delicious, delectable aphrodisiacs. And I understand that we have a caller on the line. Hello?
Hello.
Hello, hello. And who's this, please?
This is Robbie with Robbie's Ocean Fresh Seafood Company.
Hey, Robbie. How are you?
Good, Paul. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Well, you just heard us talking about seafood, so tell us a little bit about what you provide. I've loved and told many, many people about you, so tell us about some good fresh ingredients that you have that are aphrodisiac in quality.
Well, of course, the first and foremost that I'm sure everybody knows of is the oyster, the seafood of love, I guess you can call it. I did a little article in the Herald a while back when I was writing a column for that for the Herald on oysters, and it goes back thousands of years of people, the Greeks, I guess you would say, even the Asians, wherever it comes from, assumed that the oyster itself gave them a little bit of spunk, I guess you might say, in the bedroom. becoming their aphrodisiac of choice was an oyster. In certain other cultures, I'm sure there's different things, as in Asian, there's, you know, soup and shark or any different type of seafood, I guess, is a big thing for aphrodisiac. I get it from all over when I'm selling to different restaurants. Mm-hmm. Especially Valentine's Day was a big hit.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Robbie, and some of our listeners know, I am a critical care nurse, and so I do have a background in health and in studying about nutrition and health. One of the reasons that oysters are considered aphrodisiacs is that they provide a high level of zinc. And yep. That's very important for males, especially men, to have in their diets for their active love life.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. sometimes people always, I've had a word, you know, people are trying to, you know, you say, use the oyster as an aphrodisiac, and the next day call a restaurant and say, oh, I got, you know, deathly sick last night eating your oysters. And some people can't, and some people can. I mean, depending if you're having if you're trying to sit down and have a nice meal with an oyster, or you're mixing with, you know, if you have a glass of wine or champagne or something else sets it off that doesn't agree with your chemicals in your body, and oysters aren't for you. Maybe try a different seafood. Maybe try crabs. Maybe try lobster. Different things that I find other people looking for, even on a personal level, when they're having a home party, doing a personal dinner for their, you know, for their significant other, is they look for caviar.
Oh, I love caviar.
I love caviar.
Unfortunately, my husband doesn't, so I get to eat his.
Exactly. And I mean, I do carry different varieties of caviar that, you know, that are available out there to the public, which aren't as expensive as some can be. Sometimes it's always a mind thought or a mindset, you know, where you're at. For instance, right now I'm sitting here at my fish market down on Fisherman's Wharf looking at the beach. And these little thoughts start going through your head and saying, wow, it'd be pretty cool on a nice day, whatever, you have a, you know, half a dozen oysters and a little bottle of champagne and a little jar of caviar, and you sit out there on the beach and, you know,
sounds,
that makes you take its course.
Sounds pretty good. Sounds pretty good to me. Robbie, how can people find you? I've got your phone number, but
right.
Why don't you share it?
I'm local here in Monterey. My phone number is 212-0231. I do not have a retail outlet per se. I only pretty much open to, I do pretty much wholesale business only to Lumberge. First of all, I do deal with Chef of Lumberge. I do supply the crabs, and I'm glad I heard that the crabs are good, or else I'd be in trouble.
You'd be in big trouble.
They're feisty.
That is a good note.
Feisty, yeah. Running around. Well, Robbie, thanks very much for your call, and we will be happy to share your phone number if anyone has been driving or so forth and couldn't get it. You can contact us at passionbydesign.com, and we'll be happy to share that. Great talking to you, Robbie. Thanks for calling.
If anybody wants just a, you know, half a dozen oysters or a dozen, or just to call and see what's on special for the week for any other seafoods, by all means, please call me.
Perfect. Thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Take
and
care.
Again, one more thing.
Yep.
And if you are going to get oysters, maybe you might want to call Lumberge for a nice little, maybe some kind of internet marinade or something that chef can put together for you.
we'll create some work for him, won't we?
Yeah.
There you go. He's worth it. He's very, very good.
He's definitely worth it, I'm sure.
Very talented.
Thanks, Robbie.
Again, Paula.
Wonderful. Thank you for joining us.
Okay. Oh, goodness. Yeah. So talking about oysters and caviar. Now,
Paula, I have a question for you.
Sure.
So they say that oysters help with men's sperm and testosterone production, right? With
right.
The zinc.
Yes.
So are oysters also beneficial to a woman?
Well, they are. Well, I could make a very bad joke about that, but yes, they are, Sandy.
Oh, they are. Okay. So if a woman eats them, they have that enhancing quality as well.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. See, I'm making my two chefs here blush. It's very, very charming.
Absolutely.
Here. Make them blush. So I got carried away. I interrupted you, Chef Justin, on some of the other two favorite ingredients that you have. You were talking about seafood, and I got carried away. What else do you like working with?
You know, seafood and then anything seasonal. I mean, we obviously use citrus right now, blood oranges.
Mm.
We do a dish on the tasting menu right now. We make a blood orange emulsion with some of Robbie's lobsters. Snappies, it's a pairing is unbelievable. It's down the menu. We pair crew with it. It's unbelievable. I mean,
oh, I love
yeah.
blood oranges.
Oh, you are making me hungry.
Champagne lobsters and blood oranges.
Yeah.
It's great.
It's an unbelievable combination.
Yeah.
You cannot go wrong.
We have all kinds of oysters, you know, from East Coast of the West Coast, Barren Point, Eagle Rock, Kushi, Kumamoto.
So how do you like preparing oysters? What do you do? I mean, I know that you can do simply, you know, plain, fresh, raw. But what do you like to do to
sure.
enhance
I mean,
them?
First, like Ron said, we take the ingredient and try it first and see what it... The ingredient, like fish, will tell you what it wants to be done
uh-huh.
to. Some oysters, you know, might have a little bit more brine that might be good softly poached with a little bit of, you know, a little bit of butter, thyme, lemon peel, you know. And some are just great that don't need anything else, that just are great to open on the half shell and serve with maybe a little bit of caviar on top.
Mm.
You know, some are great, you know, if they're a little bit... you know, more meatier, they might be great tempura'd, you know, or they might be great.
Ooh,
there's just
good.
A million different things. That's why this world of cuisine is so fun and to be in, because every day things can change and everything, every day a flavor can be different on the same product.
Well, that is so true. And I notice I am a big salmon eater. I love salmon. And of course, it's just loaded with great, you know, omega-3 fatty acids, and just that's fantastic for both men and women. You know, your skin, your hair, just everything, your well-being. And there are sometimes, and maybe you can give me a hint on this, sometimes I will get salmon and it is so delicious, just naturally, just so delicious. And sometimes I'll get salmon and it just tastes like nothing.
Yeah, what is that?
How can you, I mean, what do you do about that? Because if I have a big dinner party and I really want this to be special, what do you do? How do you know that salmon is going to be a good batch, if you will?
I think my best advice is talk to someone like Robbie. You know, he knows when the fish is the best in the season. You know, salmon you can buy all year round. Doesn't
right.
exactly mean that it's at its peak all year round.
Okay.
You know, spring salmon is great. You know, then they move into Ivory, Copper River. I mean, you talk to the people that know about the product and then go from there. Just don't buy it because you have a recipe for salmon that you want to make for dinner.
Right.
You know,
first
and foremost, the ingredients know what, you know, that's the reason they're there. So you ask
yes.
someone that knows about it and then.
Yeah. And Robbie's been great about that. He's
yeah.
he's always directed me just
I think it's the
perfectly.
Same for, you know, strawberries, which
yes.
is one of the difficult things for Valentine's Day is everyone wants chocolate covered strawberries.
Right.
Strawberries aren't in season, unfortunately, now. The rain makes them very bad. They're best in the middle of summer, where there's all the heat and the sugars develop and you have such a better flavor product. You know, but historically or traditionally, you would have, you know, your chocolate-dipped strawberries for Valentine's Day, which is one of the reasons why we came up with the menu for the aphrodisiac menu. So that took away from using the atypical things that you would normally put
yes.
on something and do things that maybe had more historical value or scientific value, I guess.
Well, I really like that, Ron. That makes so much sense because
mm-hmm.
why have something and have it not taste good?
Exactly.
You
we
know?
Can't change. You know, as chefs, we're obviously trained and we teach ourselves to make things taste good. But if the raw product isn't any good, we can't really do much with
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And, you know,
well,
one of the things that Sandy, you and I have talked about a lot, too, is this whole, you know, relationship that people have with food and dieting and, you know, I'm bad because I ate this or I'm good
mm-hmm.
because I didn't eat that. And, you know, our mission in life with Passion by Design is really about reframing not only people's bedrooms, you know, in the decor, but also how you show up in your bedroom, which is how you show up in your body. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. when you're comfortable in your body and you're eating really healthy foods that are so delicious, and it's not a love-hate relationship of, you know, oh, this is bad for me, or this is, you know, I'm a bad person if I eat it. It just becomes a whole lot more fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, strawberries also are one of those great gifts from God that are so delicious and so low in calories if you eat them without, you know, chocolate, obviously, and other things. But also, I just have to mention that whenever strawberry season begins, I always think of my mother because had the Pie Factory restaurant in Del Monte Center for so many years. Mm-hmm. And every season when it would start, we would get just incredible. She would make so many strawberry pies, and people would be lined up out mm-hmm. the door to get these fresh strawberry pies. And oh my gosh, so every time strawberry season comes in, I have that warm, wonderful feeling of my mom's restaurant.
Oh yeah, and those pies, the strawberries, Ron, were piled high yeah. in the pie.
That's
they were just beautiful. I mean,
yes,
they were
works fresh.
Of art.
Yeah.
And they were fresh and delicious mm-hmm. and amazing.
Yeah, and it's because the fruit is at its peak at that time.
Yes.
You know, because everything else could be very minimal. You just have basically a nice tart dough and
right.
or a pie crust and maybe a little bit of cream or something to go with it. But it's really about the strawberries.
So yeah. I think we should come up with a new tradition. Okay, Ron, let's do this here.
Okay.
A new Passion by Design Valentine's Day tradition.
Yes.
So it's not going to be strawberries that are not in season covered with chocolate. Mm-hmm. Let's come up with a new
dessert.
We'll work on it. We'll let the listeners know when we
yeah,
design
give us some
that
ideas.
When we design that that menu. But I think
that would be great.
I think that would be just so much fun to kind of create a new tradition.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, really working with what you guys do so well with what's fresh, what's in season, where are the flavors really speaking for themselves mm-hmm. instead of trying to force something.
Yes.
We'll work on that and we'll get back to
I think that's a great idea.
Back to the
Well,
listeners.
We know we have the dishes already designed for it.
Yes, we do. Sandy, talk about those dishes a little bit.
Well, they are so beautiful because they are, it's almost as though they are lily pads when they're stacked inside of each other. They're sort of a free form, beautiful, low profile, but they have a little bit of a ridge on them so that things don't slide off of them. So they can, of course, be used beautifully in bed, but mm-hmm. also because they're low profile, you can put a lot of them at the table. And as you know, Justin and Ron, real estate, you know, the table is how many dishes you can fit in the table is what your profit is. So
yeah.
It's a wonderful opportunity. But we have those dishes are perfect for bedtime eating because they have that little ridge.
Sandy, do we have any pictures of those on the website?
No, not yet.
We're going to have to put those up. They're a wonderful. They're a pure white. Mm-hmm. And they're just a lovely, they feel nice. They're just, they have you would love them. I'll have to.
We'll need to see them.
Yeah, you'll Absolutely. Have to see them. They're really delightful. And Sandy and I became entranced with them because we were looking for containers or dishes that you could eat in bed.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got a little upward ridge so that things don't go flying off.
Yeah.
And they're just delightful. We'll make a point to put those on the website and also to show you guys, too. So another dessert. Talk to us about another dessert, Ron.
Another dessert.
It's making me so hungry here.
Yeah. It's, I don't know. I think what I've been doing more is thinking about texture.
Mm.
And because, I've been cooking now almost 10 years, 11 years now,
uh-huh.
doing pastry. I didn't start off as a pastry chef. I started off as a regular cook. And then I got lured into the sweet side.
What,
I guess
the sweet side of life?
Yeah, exactly.
Sounds like you're doing just fine.
Yeah, and I love it. You know, it's very technical. I have to think about it a little bit more, I think. So I like that, and I inherently have like a slight sweet tooth, I guess, so that helps.
Which is, I have to tell our audience, these are two of the most slender chefs I've ever seen. And don't they say don't trust a skinny chef?
Yeah.
You know, I know you guys don't look like the stereotypical round. They're both healthy, slender looking
fellows.
Well,
I think that's one of the things that we're trying to do at Aubergine is
of course.
Is our portions aren't giant.
Yes,
they're not, and I think that's one of the problems with America. We're so used to having huge fulfilling portions and
overfilling.
Exactly, and our portions are very moderate size, but it's packed with flavor.
Mm.
And so I think the benefit is that you get more out of it because there's so much flavor, there's so many different textures, things that are coming off of a smaller dish with fewer ingredients, and you're far more satisfied because it's satisfying not just physically by filling your stomach, but you know, spiritually and emotionally too.
Right.
So you don't have to put so much on a plate.
Oh.
You know, sometimes you go to a place and, you know, there's a stack of fries that are so big there's no way that you could eat it, and it's just there's no point to that. So I think that's one of the things that we've been trying to do. And you know, once again going back to dessert, is I've been thinking about texture a lot. So adding a lot of little tiny accents to a dish, you know, like a sugar tweel or something, but instead of having a big giant piece, I break into a little shard, so it's almost like if you were to eat a creme brulee, and not the first bite, but after you're kind of halfway through the creme brulee and that sugar on top is in small little pieces kind of shattered throughout and little kind of cookie crumbs and crunchy things and creamy things. So when you mix it all up, it's just different textures that are kind of moving around in your mouth. And I think that's seems to be where I keep thinking about more and more about the dishes.
Right.
So it's not just a custard or something like that. So it has multiple dimensions to it because creme brulee is great, but after you get rid of the sugar, it's just a custard and it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I try and think of how you can keep the dish exciting after the third bite or the fourth bite.
Oh, that's interesting.
So it's
that's interesting.
Kind of fun.
Yeah, I like that. And Chef Wendy Brody is a friend and also a wonderful chef. And she and I've talked a lot about textures, the same type thing that you're saying is, you know, how to make it more interesting. And this is a bit of an aside, but it reminds me of it. There was a taste test done on Coke, between Coca-Cola and Pepsi. And there was a real difference between the first taste, that Pepsi tasted better initially, if I have this correct. And by the end of the can, you were kind of tired of it. Forgive me, Pepsi Cola, don't sue me. I shouldn't be saying this. But where Coke was a little more acidic and a little tart at the beginning, but it was more pleasing
throughout,
as you went through it.
Uh-huh.
And I thought that was such an interesting way to look at food.
Yeah, I think it definitely makes a difference. I think Justin's food is the same. You know, going back to one of the dishes, speaking from the pastry, and I get to watch what they do on the other side of the kitchen. So one of the dishes that they're doing now is he has an ocean trout, which is similar to salmon, I guess. Yeah, so you'd probably, and it's cooked very low temperature, and he basically just breaks it up onto the plate. So it's just like kind of large flakes.
Ooh.
And it's interspersed with radishes, which are kind of crispy, just very thinly shaved radishes. And then the same fish, the trout, but the roe. So it's like caviar, but they're much bigger pearls, and they pop a little bit more.
Yes.
So you get that creamy fish, and you get the fresh shaved radish and the trout roe, and they pop like, you know, like caviar, like tapioca. And so there's a lot of different texture instead of just eating a piece of fish. And that's, you know, like I said, it's one of the things I think that savory and the sweet side, you know, it's kind of where we're trying to go with the food. So it's always interesting as you're
Well, it sounds you're like you're really bringing forth or continuing to bring forth this kind of a food revolution of, you know, eating better quality and a smaller quantity.
Well, also, I love what Justin said in our announcement that we sent out. If I may be so bold as to quote you, Justin.
Sure. He's looking nervous here. He's going, what did I say?
He said, got a few minutes left. Food, I would say each plate has a purpose. My goal is to inspire our guests to enjoy a broader combination of flavors and textures, foods that pair well with wines. A diner may discover a vegetable prepared three ways on his plate, but each of the flavors will be unique and pure. My style of cooking is based upon the philosophy of not masking ingredients.
Mm.
That tells it so beautifully, because what you're saying is each ingredient stands out and has a purpose.
That's exactly what we're working towards, and you know, we're really excited about where we're going, and we're really going to make it a wonderful place for, you know, for not just locally but internationally.
And leading on to this, we can talk about our, we're starting in April, a dinner, you know, once a month, focused just purely on one ingredient.
Oh.
So, you know, whatever going to be the best in the market, may it be asparagus. So we'll do a four-course pre-fee with including wine pairing.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very accessible to everyone. It's going to be, you know, we're going to knock your socks off. That's all I have to say.
So Ooh. Now when are you starting those?
Well, the first Tuesday in April.
First Tuesday in April.
Yeah, it's actually going to be, what we want to do it is every month, the first Tuesday of the month, and we'll pick an ingredient, and it'll always be, I think asparagus should be pretty much right at the peak that time, mm-hmm. so asparagus will probably be the one we'll do in April. And it'll be four courses, all based on asparagus. So, but there's various asparagus. There's white asparagus, green asparagus. There's the small wild asparagus. Even dessert, I'm going to have to find a way to use asparagus.
Oh, now this will be interesting, so, Ron.
but we want to make it, you know, so a lot of locals can come in. And like I said, it's with wine. It's going to be something in a way more casual
mm-hmm.
that people can just, and hopefully people will want to come each month to see what we're doing with a certain ingredient and how far we could push that one ingredient.
I think that is an amazing idea. Well, I'm certainly planning on being there. And Sandy, we're going to have to fly you up from Southern California so you can be here too.
Well, I was thinking because, you know, I'm coming up that first week in March, we may have to make a reservation to go to the restaurant and enjoy the dinner.
Absolutely, absolutely. Well, gentlemen, this has been just such a treat, and I know you've got so much more that you can share with us. I think we're going to have you back on the show again. And also, we're going to have Thomas on to talk to us about some wine pairings. I'm really the wine and champagne aficionado here.
Okay.
Sandy is quite the chef, and does that make me quite the drinker? What does that make me?
That's okay.
Uh-oh, is that okay?
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, that's okay. Well, again, gentlemen, thank you so much. And tell our listening audience in the last minute or so where you're located.
It's a restaurant, Aubergine, L'Auberge Carmel, Mount Verde and 7th, Carmel by the Sea.
All right.
So please come.
And what's the phone number if we want to call and make reservations?
Uh-oh.
Okay, we're going to have
people. It's in my phone.
That's okay. See, we're stumped by technology
here.
Yeah,
we are.
Well, we're coming to a close, and thank you so much again. And we invite all of our listening audience to call upon our sponsors, which keeps us on the air, and let them know you heard about us on Passion by Design. So please visit our website, www.passionbydesign.com, and you'll get more information, and we'll pass on information about our fabulous guests. I'm Paula McChesney.
And I'm Sandy Peckinpah. Join us next week, Wednesday afternoon at 2:05 on AM 1240 KNRY for another hour of Passion by Design.
Community radio for the Central Coast.
AM 1240, KNRY, Monterey, Salinas, Santa Cruz.